The Hojo Center for Personal Enhancement is in Howard Johnson, 2915 Historic Highway 66 in Gallup. The Hojo Center is a peer-run wellness center. We serve people in Gallup and McKinley County. We help with recovery from addiction by certified peer support workers who help also with finding supportive housing. We help with breaking bad habits by learning mindfulness-based stress reduction. We offer a sweat lodge as part of traditional Native American healing practices. And we also have a AA group that meets every Wednesday at 10 a.m. at the Hojo Center office at 2915 West Historic Highway 66. You can call 505-330-1885 for more information.
I'm here with Ken Collins, Executive Director of the Hojo Center. You are providing services to those with disability or traumatic brain injury and related challenges. Are you also providing or working towards providing some housing?
We just got word here a few months ago from New Mexico Mortgage Finance Authority about HUD money that they had available. We applied for it, and we got it to establish a recovery housing program here. It'll be 24 months that people be able to have a continuation of their recovery efforts after coming out of detox, and also the 30-day program there at Four Corners. See, one of the problems is there's a big gap, and once people start down the road to recovery, gone through detox, there's no place for them to go except for out of state. There's been a problem with people from Arizona coming up here and fraudulently picking people up off the street. And I think that's really because people really want to continue, but there's no place for them to go.
So you're in the process of developing housing space.
Yeah. And we've identified a place. Right now, we're just waiting to get the appraisal done and environmental assessment done. See, this is a process that, because it's HUD funded, there's things that we have to do in order to open up, say, in 6 or 8 months. The first thing is, like I said, the appraisal, environmental impact, and then we could receive the money to purchase a property. And then there's other things that need to take place, too, within 6 months.
Assuming that things come off, when eventually space is available, how many individuals could conceivably be housed?
Well, right now we're looking at 14 initially. We were looking at a couple of motels that were here in the area, the Economy Inn, and another one, but what's come up is that they need too much renovation. And we put in our budget to purchase one of the motels, which ended up being too much for renovation. And so we've chosen another location. So that's where we're at right now.
And at such time as you begin interviewing applicants, will those be individuals that will qualify for services, will have some documentation of their particular disability?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that there's a lot of these folks that are on the street that have brain injuries that they've never been diagnosed. They were beat up, they were kicked in the head, hit in the head, because I've heard all these stories from people. But as long as they're able to get up and walk out of ER and then be transported to NCI, which is what happens a lot of the times, they're not identified as having a brain injury. One of the things that Dr. Jenny Way has doing at Gallup Indian Medical Center is that she's identified some of these people, but that's what we'll be doing with our intake. We've got a questionnaire that can help to identify a person with a brain injury. And so we want to just make sure that once they're identified, that we assist them not only with their alcohol abuse, but also to educate them about how to use mindfulness, because that's been really the most proven way to help somebody, is just and that's basically just learning how to calm down. Because the more stress, and see, that's where people are in the streets. They're not eating well. They're not sleeping good. They've got all these habits that they built in. And so alcohol is their escape. And, you know, it starts out probably self-medication, but now it's become chronic after long periods of time of being on the street.
And I assume you're still developing the vetting process. There are probably some issues such as violence or other aspects that might make it difficult for someone to participate.
Right. Well, and that's what we'll be doing with our intake process, and really helping them to understand that the stress that they're under is really what's creating their problems. So learning how to cope instead of react, because that's what a lot of people are doing now. They're just reacting to what's called amygdala hijack, and that's their survival instincts take over. And so they're not able, because of that, to really look at the consequences, because as long as that limbic system's or the lizard brain's in control, it shuts out their prefrontal cortex, their thinking brain, so they can't see consequences. They're just always reacting to the stress that they're under, and that amygdala taken over. It's neuroscience. And see, a lot of this stuff, Rachel, is relatively new in the last 10 or 15 years. You know, I've been blessed to 5 years in a row, I presented at the Southwest Conference on Disability in Albuquerque, talking about this stuff. And so I've been doing research. I do groups. I've laid off my groups at the jail, Four Corners, Lexington Hotel, where I talk about this stuff. And because of that, I mean, I'm just focusing on this recovery housing program. I'll get back to those groups, and that's really going to be a referral source for our recovery housing. But we're not there yet, so I haven't been holding those groups. I call them relapse prevention groups, where I talk about the brain and how it works and the stress that they're under triggers all this reaction. Because that's really what I've seen as a benefit for people, because they can be more proactive and get out of that reactionary mode, which leads to drinking, you know, because they don't know this information. And I've seen the results of it. Not everybody, because, see, the thing is with mindfulness, it's knowing it. Okay, I understand. But, see, it has to be practiced. People have to practice being calm and staying relaxed so that amygdala doesn't take over. But see, a lot of this is because of the habits that people have gained while being on the street. They got to break those bad habits and build new ones.
And that's true even in the general community for those who have never had any kind of traumatic brain injury. It happens to so many people.
It happens to everybody. Because it's an instinct, and it's not just Native Americans, because I've seen this with people that are here, because it's because of the trauma, poverty, and learned helplessness that's come out of this. There's really, we have this passive-aggressive behaviors that are a part of living here because of that environment, the historical intergenerational trauma, poverty, and learned helplessness are really all factors that we've got to recognize if we're really going to start helping these people, because the shame, the blame, and the guilt tripping, it doesn't work, you know. Not having your bathrooms open, to people on the street. And then it's just amazing, because when we were down on Maloney Street, we provided the only bathroom for people to use on the north side. So what you get out of that type of situation is people, they know they got to go. And then you have the neighbors and the neighborhood association, neighborhood group saying, oh, yeah, but they're defecating on my lawn. They're doing that. Well, there's no place for them to go. So you get what you get. And in the meantime, the person that can't use the bathroom, that's just reinforced that they're not being treated fairly. So they're always reacting to those situations, those barriers, but it's those barriers that are part of what's causing the problem.
I'm speaking with Ken Collins, Executive Director of the Hojo Center. Ken, would you like to take a moment, since we didn't actually get to this yet, of describing the mission and services of the Hojo Center and you know, what it is that you hope to accomplish?
We're a peer-run center. Everyone at the Hojo has gone through issues of alcohol, drug abuse, mental health. When Hojo was first organized by Kate Gutierrez back, and I think it was about 2005 is when she started, she was a woman with mental health issues, and she wanted to create a drop-in center for people on the streets with mental health and alcohol issues. When Kate first started, when I heard about that, I contacted her and I said, well, that's good for folks with any kind of mental health issues, but I believe that some of these people have brain injuries, and it's different. And so that's really what started me on the board. I was on the board. We incorporated, I think, in 2008 or 2009. But we're a drop-in center. And right now we're a wellness center. We provide peer support. Myself and other staff members are all certified peer support workers. The thing is, with peer support, it really helps to build the trust from people, which lays a foundation for their participation, because if I can do it, you can do it kind of thing. But we provide life skills training. We help people get their IDs. One of the things that's happened a lot with people who are on the street, they get their wallet stolen. A lot of time that's because they're passed out. And so people will take their shoes or wallets. And so that's one of the things we do. We help people get their IDs so that then they can get an apartment. We help people find apartments. We provide life skills training. We provide transportation to help people get to income support division, Social Security, employment. We do job searches with people. We've helped people find jobs in the local area. Those type of supports, we help people find housing. One of the things that's taken place here last week, there were three different apartments that have been closed down. Our office is in Howard Johnson. We help people find shelter there. There's a program that provides shelter, Nova 3. They're working on getting accreditation as a treatment program. So we work with them for the shelter. We just had our first three families come in yesterday. We found out today that there's another, one of the apartments that was red tagged, we're getting individuals from there. But I just found out this morning before coming here that down in the basement, there were seven different families. So that's one of the things we're working on right now.
And you're working principally with people in the Gallup area. You mentioned you have a drop-in center. Do you work principally off referrals? Do people actually walk in? Does it vary?
Well, yeah. And one of the things that hurts us now with the, because when we were down on Maloney, we were on the route that that everybody used if you're a homeless. I liked to use the word instead of homeless, hopeless, because that's one of the things that people lose hope. And once they lose hope, then those survival instincts take over and they're homeless. So, but yeah, we work with people off the street. Our services are free. We're funded through the Office of Peer Recovery and Engagement. They do the certified peer support worker training. That's one of the things we emphasize, and that's one of the things about this recovery housing. People will be there for 2 years, and with that, we want to build pride in people so that they can regain some hope, so that they can have a reason to get up in the morning and find a job or a career. We're working with the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation. Once we identify individuals, say with brain injuries or other physical disabilities, we'll be referring them to DVR. I just got reappointed by the governor to sit on the statewide independent living council, which oversees the independent living centers. And that's my connection with finding jobs for people through DVR. We'll be working with our local independent living center here, San Juan Center for Independence, there in the mall. We'll be doing a lot of referrals to different people. That's all part of our intake. One of the things that we have at the recovery housing, we're calling them wraparound services, where we're tied in with the different agencies that we have here, Four Corners, Detox Rehabilitation Center, Lexington, NCI. NCI has a program, I think it's called the First Step. But we'll be doing individual counselors. When things come up, we won't have them always in-house, but we'll be able to refer people and then provide the transportation for the individual to go to those referrals. See, because that's one of the things I've learned over the years is that you just can't make a referral and say, you go do it. Because with street people, there's so many obstacles, so many barriers, and they're all within the street family is what they call themselves. And they'll see somebody along the way. They might be going to DVR, to Income Support Division, Social Security with good intentions, but there's too many people along the way that are going to get them sidetracked. And the next thing you know, they're drinking, so they show up at an appointment, they've been drinking, and then they get denied. So that's one of the things we want to do.
And across the world, and certainly across this country, there are any number of reasons why someone might be homeless. It might be as simple as being evicted, having a property red tagged. It might be economic. They might have lost the ability to pay for a residence. In some cases, there are indigenous citizens that may have a home in the reservation, but for many reasons, they might be estranged from their family, or they may be strongly addicted to substances, including alcohol, and may have left the reservation to come into the Gallup area principally to get their fix. And consequently, their situation is still that of temporary homelessness at the very least.
Yeah, and one of the things that's with that too, Rachel, is that, and I've seen it happen so many times, a person will go through detox, go into a program, and then they can't go home because their relatives are still drinking. They're still active drinking. And that again goes to the need for this recovery housing, because at least they've got a supportive, safe place to go to when they get out of treatment or detox. Because I've seen that a lot, to where people, they don't want to go back home just because people are still drinking and carrying on. They want to protect their sobriety that they've just got.
So, Ken, it sounds like while down the road there might be some limited housing for those that are getting services from Hojo Center, you're also helping with finding housing.
Yeah, and that's the hard part. Yeah, that's the hard part, especially housing that's supportive of their needs.
Are there any specific things that listeners who might know someone who could benefit from such services might need to know? Contact information, you know, where to go?
Well, they can always call me at the Hojo. I'll give you my cell number. I get calls regularly, but my number is 505-330-1885, and then I can help to direct. If we can't help, we know who can. So that's one thing that we can do. Just call and we'll just go from there.
Is there anything else that you might like to share? Any upcoming events? Anything coming out of the discussion with the governor's office?
Well, I've been meeting with the governor. I was invited to sit on a homeless work group because this issue of homeless, and I don't know if any of your listeners have noticed, but there's less people on the street now than there was, say, last year at this time. It's critically important that a lot of the old-timers that we've seen are in treatment or they're no longer around because of COVID or et cetera. But I think that, well, with this housing thing, with homelessness, it's a major problem for the state, especially Albuquerque has it as a huge problem. And so one of the things that the Heading Home is who I'm also on the board of Heading Home. They run the Lexington, but they're taking some of the things that we're doing here in Gallup and they're incorporating into what they're doing in Albuquerque. So that feels pretty good to me that I know that we're on the right track. It's a big problem and really we're figuring it out. And, you know, it's nice that the governor has taken this on as a statewide project. We're going to be involved in a program for crisis. You know, there was a ceremonial, the guy that drove through the parade here. Right. We're going to be at the ceremonial handing out information about 988 as a contact number so that people can be aware of it. A lot of this, Rachel, is just making people aware of what's out there for them. And hopefully, you know, that'll relieve some of the stress that they're under.
Would you say that promoting the 988 number for crisis needs is a big part of this?
Yeah, it is. Having some way to talk to, you know. Yeah, having somebody to talk to. And the 988's a new resource for people. So we'll be handing out 988 cards, other flyers about 988. We'll be over out there on, I think it's next Thursday and next Saturday. But it's just making people aware.
For general information, does Hojo Center currently have like a Facebook or social media connection or website or something?
Yeah, well, we have one. We just haven't updated it.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a Facebook page, but it needs to. We're working on updating that right now.
So right now you have an office.
Right.
Located over at the Howard Johnson.
Yeah, it's on the east side of the building. Room 1203, and then we're on the inside of the building in a conference room, 2915 Historic West Highway 66, right. On the east side of the building, the Chaco Conference Room. You'll see the entrance there is Chaco Conference Room. Right now we're setting up in the helping people in the ballroom with their kids because of these apartments that are closing down. And right now, that's pretty much our focus.
What is the current situation with Howard Johnson? Are they currently renting out rooms?
Well, no, we have shelter in there. For at Nova 3, it's shelter.
Is this a city program?
No, well, it's being funded through the Southwest Indian Foundation.
I see.
Yeah, they're the ones that are paying for people's rooms. The thing is that this is all all new. So we've got a meeting today at 4:30 to look at helping the kids and the families that are there, because there's activities with some of these families got 3 or 4 or 5 kids, you know. And so it's working on getting them in schools opening. So we're going to have, you know, bus stops, but especially activities for the kids and the families. So it's not chaos.
Ken, is there anything else that you might like to share with our listeners?
I guess if anything, try not to get caught up in all the negative, you know, because there are some real positive things going on. Gallup is probably the only town or city in America that is taking care of people on the streets, you know. I mean, anywhere else, if you're passed out on the street, you just picked up and go to jail. But at least here, at least we have NCI to where people can go to receive a shelter. And there's also shelter there at NCI after 5 o'clock. But, you know, things are getting better. They really are. And so I guess that would be my message, is just lighten up, because that limbic system takes over and this passive aggressive behavior kicks in. And because I've seen so many good people in this town get run off because of the new ideas and the new way of looking at things. You know, it really seems like, man, people just make a mountain out of a molehill a lot. And people always look at, if somebody's doing good, man, they bring them down. And that's what I mean. That's all this passive aggressive stuff that we've got to be aware of, because we need to stop that if we're really going to grow as a community, because there are good things happening.
Now, during the recent heat wave, Gallup hasn't been as bad off as some places, but do you still find some people coming in just to get out of the heat?
Oh, yeah. I carry water with me. I mean, I'm always seeing that. The good thing, and I wear this as a badge of honor, because I've talked about the lizard brain so much in all my groups, and I'll hear that, hey, lizard, you know. And so, but I carry water. I buy burritos for people. I don't want to give people money, but, you know, we got to get some food in them to take, instead of drinking their breakfast. At least if they got some food in them, at least when they do drink, it's going to soak up some of the alcohol and make their journey a little easier the next day.
I've been speaking with Ken Collins, Executive Director of the Hojo Center. Ken, do you want to repeat your telephone number?
Yeah, my phone number is 505-330-1885. And then our address at the Hojo Center is 2915 West Historic Highway 66. We're on the east side of the building by the Chaco Canyon Conference Rooms is what's above the door. But come on down and see us. You know, if you know of anybody that needs help finding a place to live, supports for their alcohol or drug addiction, we're here to help. And like I said, we're a peer-run center. So we've been there, and it's a good way to, we know what you're talking about. And that's a good start, because we've been there. And if we can do it, you know, I think you can too.
Thank you very much, Ken.
Thank you, Rich. I appreciate this time.